Hey, everybody, this is Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols, and today we are going to talk about Jeff's controversial combat swimmer stroke video.
Yeah, I set the internet on fire.
So anyway, I wanted everybody to know, and I commented on his video, is that, you know, he is not wrong. I mean, the dolphin kick and the breaststroke kick is by far the more superior stroke than the scissor kick or little flutter kick.
However, in fact,
try this. If you want to really test yourself, try to swim across the pool underwater doing constant flutter kicks. See how far you get, right? Or try to swim underwater, no arm pulls, and do it with a breaststroke kick and see how far you get. Now, you got to be a good breaststroker, right? And here's the dilemma. And I've been coaching swimming for many years, and most people have a really hard time learning how to do the dolphin kick or learning how to do the breaststroke kick. Yep. So all I'm adding to Jeff's video is that it kind of depends. You know, for me, I was never a competitive swimmer. So I can't teach the way Jeff teaches because he swam competitively for – what,
15 years, yeah.
You know, so he has the ability to open and close his legs with great power, which creates that breaststroke whip kick, right?
Yeah.
I have slowly learned how to do that in the last 20 years, but when I was a student and learning how to swim and going from a powerlifting football player, baseball player, wrestler, you know, type of athlete, dry land athlete, you know, I was just doing the scissor kick. In fact, we didn't even have the combat swimmer stroke. It didn't really exist. It was the elementary side stroke, which was a little less efficient than...
That's what it was called when I came through.
Yeah, when it was a little less efficient than the combat swimmer stroke. So combat swimmer stroke just kind of evolved, and what they did is they took a piece of freestyle, and they used that top arm pull, you know, just and goes all the way. You do a freestyle top arm pull. You do a bottom arm, which is – you hardly even need to use your bottom arm. It's more of a – they call it a breaststroke skull, right, as opposed to an all the way down and all the way up. Sometimes I teach the full arm pull to people who are sinking, and I have them actually push down first and then at the same time –
it becomes an S. Yeah, drive and then out the hip. Yeah,
at the same time as they're inhaling to just kind of get them up so they can inhale, especially if they're sinking in the water. So there's so many different ways to do this, so many different ways to teach it, and it really depends on the student. Because when I see somebody swimming the combat swimmer stroke for the first time, I see two things. I see a natural tendency to stay on the strong side, right? Might be your right side, might be your left side, whichever top arm, you know, typically is your strong side. I'm a right-handed swimmer. My strong side is when my right hand's on top. And I see a natural tendency towards a certain style of kick. Sometimes it's a breaststroke kick. Sometimes it's a scissor kick. You know, and that's it. You know, those are the two things. And if I see somebody trying to do the combat swimmer stroke using a breaststroke kick and doing well, I say keep doing it because it's going to be faster than the scissor kick.
Yep, because you're talking about efficiency. And I think that – so that's where I knew, like, I kind of cracked this egg. You never know what's going to come out of that shell. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And I know that, but also I was careful about saying, hey, the PST is an animal that you have to play the game.
Yeah. There are rules for the PST.
It varies from mentor to mentor and test to test and all those sort of things. But so, yeah, adhere to it, because what Stu and I are talking about, we're building to the greater goal of is swimming in buds and fins. Now, yes. And that's where, like, that conundrum for me existed was like, well, wait a minute, like, the likelihood in dive fins or good swimming fins to be able to scissor kick is next to impossible.
Yeah, you have to have really strong legs.
You have to rotate your femur to cut through and then rotate it back. It doesn't translate well. So – What I'm trying to get you guys to do, really, maybe I should have prefaced it better, is like, hey, be a well-rounded swimmer, because water competence leads to efficiency because you're relaxed. So if you think of like a punch, it's tight, 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 loose, tight again. In swimming, people are like these refrigerators in the water trying to claw at it. And when you can swim the backstroke and the side stroke and the breaststroke and the freestyle, and you can dive and use fins and all these sort of things, all of a sudden you're just like, you can just in the water. And then you can get after it, right? You can be violent but relaxed. And that's the problem is a lot of people, the biggest problem I see is people that have never really been swim competent is they're treating water like it's a mass in a weight room. They're trying to move that mass instead of move themselves. Yeah. Like it is that, and that's what people start clawing at the water. So for me, I just want guys to start going, all right, listen to your mentor, go through that process, because they're not ill-willed towards you. They just like, here's the parameters that I'm going to be testing off of so I can submit those scores, because they want some consistency. But what I want you guys to start doing, and Stu wants you guys to start doing, is just, again, it's like the whole training aspect. We want you to be well-rounded, not just be a runner, not just be lifting weights, not just doing calisthenics, not just run. We want you to do it all. Right. In the pool, the water is the great equalizer, especially the ocean.
Yeah.
And the more comfortable you can get in the water, the better you're going
to
be.
And that's the key. You know, it doesn't take a world-class swimmer to make it through SEAL training. Mm-hmm. You just need to be comfortable in the water and confident to be able to do several different things. One, swim efficiently and fast. Put on a pair of fins, swim efficiently and fast. Tread water vertically, right? Because that's a pretty big challenge. And just be able to hold your breath, underwater. Now, that doesn't mean don't go practice holding your breath underwater and be by yourself. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
It is when we're talking underwater swimming, it is easier to learn efficiency underwater than to have to overstroke and kill yourself to get across the pool. I mean, I swim the 50 and I go 4 strokes to get to the other side of the pool, and I do typically 5 strokes to get back. You know, it's just, you know, 50 yards, and it's
and that's the thing too, is like what we also want you to think is that the kick is just a component of the stroke. Yeah. You got to put it all together, right? The pull is a component. And then based off of one of the guys that was here this week training with me, he's a former professional basketball player. He's 6'7", with size 16 feet. Woo. He had never done the combat side stroke really with a dolphin kick. Well, size 16 feet, motoring.
Yeah.
Never, and it's just because he, you know, and then the kind of the way that, and Stu and I were talking off camera, it can be very difficult, and typically is very difficult to teach somebody how a dolphin kick should feel, right? Or even because looking at it, watching it, doesn't translate like it does, hey, when you're under a bar and a back squat, here's these checks to hit.
Yeah.
That doesn't work so seamlessly in a swim. You got to really look at the person. And for him, it was like, you know, because he's going to do his PST in South Carolina at a YMCA in a 25-yard pool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's 6'7", I'm push off the wall, boy.
Use it. You will never be faster than you are in a 500-yard swim than you are those first 10 yards off the wall.
Yep.
You got to hit that wall hard like a rocket, double arm pull, throw a little dolphin kick in there to kick off, you know, just keep your momentum up.
Yep.
But where Jeff was talking in his video is, you know, that recovery can screw you so much. It's like, you know, push and then stop, push and stop, you know, whereas if you can keep that recovery tight, I mean, your arms literally have to come up your body and across your face and come up like that. If you're out here like this, it's like putting on the brakes in the water. Yep.
Big water sail.
So, Jeff's right. You know, there are so many different components to it. And whether you are a breaststroke kicker or a scissor kicker, you know, I've seen fast guys do both. You know, you can be fast at both. Now, will you be faster? Maybe. But the guys that beat me were all breaststrokers. We're all breaststroke kickers. Like, I was a fast scissor kicker, right? But I just was never really good at the breaststroke, so I just swam my thing with scissor kick. And I was still able to break 8, you know, able to even break 7 at one point, you know, when I was even post-buds, probably I was like 25 years old. And, you know, pushing hard on learning some new technique with it. But anyway, it was an interesting video that I thought needed to be discussed, because I think there's a lot of confusion out there about what is the combat swimmer stroke. You know, I have a 3-part breakdown on my YouTube channel that discusses the 3 different parts of the combat swimmer stroke, from the kickoff to the double arm pull to the pull, breathe, kick, glide, and breaks it down into those type of things. But, you know, I use a scissor kick. And if you look on my YouTube page, you'll see there are people that use a great breaststroke kick, and they're much faster than I am. You know, and like Jeff is right, a dolphin kick and a breaststroke kick is going to be faster. Yep. You know, but how much faster do you need to be?
Yeah, and that's because, you know? Again, what we're talking, we're trying to transfer into with fins.
Yes.
That's like, I mean, that's the big point, is we're saying, now, again, if you have size 16 feet, I'm going to omit the scissor kick and the breaststroke kick on the combat side stroke. And now you can, it can't, but I did. I mean, I've tried it before. I've done my PSTs, because unless things have changed dramatically, I'm not saying don't do the combat side stroke without fins. I'm not saying that. But what I'm also saying is that when you're in a pool doing your PST at Buds and you have 220 people in there, you're not going to, unless you're just flailing around, no one's going to be paying attention, really. And then when you go out into the ocean, no one is going to be paying attention so other than you. So yeah, we got to start manipulating that a little bit. And also, I'm not trying to speak for anybody, but in Buds, when you're in the junior open ocean swims, all of that goes out the window, right? It's like, how can we be the fastest and most efficient to cover that distance? Now, when you get in a second phase and you start to put the dragger on, you will really see the value of that combat side stroke. Yeah. Okay, and also you'll see why when you have the dragger sitting there, where that underwater and above hand, where you got to manipulate around that dragger unit and try and swim.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, that's why you just turtle back. Just sit on
exactly.
Your
then you end up trying to turtle back and all those sort of things. But the reality is, too, like I said, you're gonna, you know, in a real compromised position, I'm gonna drop my gear. But again, I'm getting a little bit off the rails, but I get in Stu was my next and last piece is that Stu is right on. The biggest challenge that people try to do is they try to swim the whole stroke at once. Segment it. Right? Each, like the pull, like use pool buoys, use kickboards, use underwater swimming. Like push off the wall, work on your glide, stand up, walk back. Yeah. Create reps. And I know Stu is already doing that with his guys. Like, hey, let's work on the glide. Because you got, for me, I feel my glide based off of my eyebrows. Yeah. When I feel the water slowing me down, I stroke.
Yeah.
That's basically my speedometer is my eyebrows.
Yeah. But it took a long time for you to figure out that muscle or that feel of your body to be able to,
for sure,
to make you think, okay, I'm slowing down. How am I slowing down? You figured it out. You know, it might be something else. It might be hair on your back or, you know, something, hair on your head, you know, something that makes you feel that kinetic feeling of movement in the water. You know, you know you're slowing down. So, you know what I do? I look at the bottom. In our pool, we have these little tiles that make up the black line. And when I see those things stop getting blurry, because I can't focus on, when I start to see them, I'm able to focus on them individually. Boom. I go right into a to a stroke too. So there's many different ways.
It just comes down to process. And that's – there's the only thing wrong about doing things is not having a process. I mean, I think that, because whether it's the way that Stu's coaching it, or I am, or your mentors, we just want to make sure that we don't omit pieces of the puzzle. Right. And that's where I get frustrated. And I know Stu gets frustrated when you hear all these SEAL mentors saying, this is the only way to do it. Whether they were SEALs or not, we got to go, wait a minute. Like, we're working toward a greater goal here. Like, we want you to perfect, for lack of a better term, the combat side stroke for the PST. But we also want to empower you with the skill of swimming. So when you put fins on, when you put dive gear on, when you do, be diverse. That's, I guess, my last biggest point there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, because 1% of your bud's career will be swimming without fins. Yep. 99% of your bud's career will be swimming with fins.
Yep.
And very rarely ever will you swim without fins in the teams. I mean, it's just, I can't think of ever.
Because even like we were doing like PTs and stuff and doing underwater hockey and stuff, it's with fins.
Everybody had fins on.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, I the thing too is like, let's field this question. I think it's a good, real good question to field. I want to get your take on it. So the question I got, one of the questions I got again today was, well, how often should I use fin? Is it an 80-20? Is it a 50-50? Is it what? It depends. And it kind of depends on, well, I, like my son learned to swim when he was 10 months old. And I had a process because I taught swim lessons. And I know, and even with adults, I kind of treat it the same way. It's like, well, if someone has a real hard time feeling what the water should feel like on their feet, fins do a really good job of getting that tempo down.
Oh, absolutely.
But the thing is when you take those fins off, they're just all over the place sometimes. Yep. So how much should fins be used? For a beginner, I don't like to mix the two. Mm-hmm. Either I'm going to go, hey, let's just work on fin work today or just work without. Because when you get them mixed together, there's too much of a contrast for me. That's just my style. But it just depends on what our goal is. What's your thoughts, Stu?
Yeah, I'm the same way. In fact, I'll keep somebody on their strong side until they master that before they play around on the weak side as well. But I definitely, it kind of goes back to our to and through cycle. You know, to get two buds, you got to play the game and ace this PST.
Yep.
Right? You got to take 500 yards swim. Don't kill yourself in the pool because you still have pull-up, push-up, sit-ups, and a mile-and-a-half run to do, and you have to do all those well.
Yep.
Right? That is a process to get two buds. Now, once you get two buds, you get your date, focus mainly on swimming with fins. I mean, maybe go back to 20% without fins. You know, I would – and you need to gradually progress to 80%, but, you know, it doesn't take long, maybe about a month of, you know, a couple of days with fins and then – maybe adding another day with fins, and then you know, after about a month, you're doing 80% of your swims with fins. Because that's what I recommend. Because I tell you what, if you go to buds without having swum with fins, it sucks. I mean, we had guys at our buds class that just hated the swims because their ankles hurt so bad.
Crushed. And that was the last thing is like, it depends on the fin. So what I recommend, people say, I need to get fins. Should I go get jet fins?
Yeah.
Not yet. It's like, I don't want you to get, if you've never ran before, I don't want you to get track flats. It'll crush your feet. So I'm going to get, okay, let's get ones that fit good, really flexible. Now, if you have size 16 feet, you're limited about jet fins. Okay.
Yeah.
There are some of the Mares dive fins, but so go get the $26 pair of Speedo Zoomers, like swim fins, a nice that fit really good. They're about yay long, about, you know, 2 feet long, and they're really flexible. They get your ankles used to things, just like you're saying, the tibialis anterior, and then maybe progress. But even then, though, once you learn that fin, you can put a lot of torque into that soft fin even. And that's what I recommend because a lot of guys, like we wore duck feet. We didn't get jet fins. And those things, I was a strong finner and I was good. And those duck feet, boy, duck feet, people drop buds with duck feet because they never got used to them.
Yeah, I think you can still use duck feet if you want, but most everybody uses the rocket fin or jet fin type strap now.
So the guys with big feet will never fit into the duck feet.
No.
I was on the upper end of it. I was a 12 and I got used to it and I was like, hell with this, right? And they're just like, but I got used to it because we did a lot of, just like you, like every class, there's a lot in that pre-buds and then what we called in dock and even first phase, there's a lot of pool swim time
playing. That is true. And all with fins too. All with fins. All fins. You'll do like 5,000 yards.
Just cruising.
That's your morning workout.
Yep. And you will swim a lot in a pool, the big pool over there. Because now that pool is owned by NSW. It's not the base pool anymore.
Right.
So they don't, because they used to have to share with classes and lap swim. You don't even get access to that unless you're NSW now. So they've got free reign of that sucker. But it's, again, it's like anything else. We don't need you. we know how you guys are. We know you want to just jump in and get everything and get after it. Get a plan. And that's really what I think Stu and I really where we reap what we sow is we're trying to get you guys to get a plan. Now, if you utilize ours or just use the context of stuff we talked about, it all comes down to the plan.
Right.
And once you get a good plan, or even like, let's say it's a poor plan. Well, now you have a reference point of what you need to change.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's no real bad in it. Just
no. I will say this, that just kind of follow up with you is that, you know, learning the dolphin kick, learning the breaststroke kick, they may not be your primary kicks. You may still prove, you know, you may have practiced and learned the combat swimmer stroke with a scissor kick and you like that and it feels good. That's fine. Go with it. But you should also try to learn the dolphin kick because it will help you in very long ocean swims with fins.
Yep.
You should also learn the breaststroke kick because if you think about what the egg beater is, the egg beater kick, when you're treading water and you're going to tread a lot of water, that egg beater kick is nothing more than an alternating breaststroke kick.
Yep, that's all right. It is. And then on the flip side, so I'm going to get the wrinkle, and I'm not going to dive into this, but just food for thought. When we did the tread, the 5-minute tread, I did it with the dolphin kick.
Oh, did you?
Yep. Because the egg beater for me, vertical, just was, I couldn't get the power. I just couldn't feel like but horizontal, I was gone. Yep. But so, and also too, what many of you are probably going to end up doing, and that, so that's why you need to practice the combat side stroke. And I'm kicking myself for not covering it in that video. The majority of the people are going to do the combat side stroke with fins on with a really strong, constant flutter. It's not even really a flutter at that point. It's just a big, sweeping, powerful, constant run.
Yeah.
In the water. Yeah. So that is what I would say 70% of the class, give it a number, of the sure. guys that went through, made it through BUDS, end up doing the flutter kick.
I would agree with
through
that.
All their runs, their swims, excuse me. And then there was the top 6, 8, and 10 of us. That, and it's just, it's not that those guys were wrong. It's just that they never got comfortable with it. So yeah. Again, it's not begrudging anybody, but just understand that. Because, again, when I would get tired or I would want to change up, I would go to the flutter kick.
Sure.
I would switch sides. Absolutely. I would. There was times, honestly, when you'd catch the tide right, I would turtle back a lot of it. Hmm. I would be underwater, face up, underwater, just dolphin kicking underwater. And like what I would do too is you get to a point where we're comfortable, and I'm not just giving you the variety, like, depending on what the tide is at in San Diego, the water where you're swimming is only 25, 30 feet deep. I would just swim on the bottom because you don't have to breathe.
Right,
don't do that, okay, because of shallow water blackout. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things where, like, I'm in third phase and we've been swimming our ass off.
Yes.
You're acclimated to it, okay?
Plus, at the island, you got, like, 100-foot visibility out there. Seafull, so ever. Much fun.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you literally swim to the kelp ledge, you can see the great whites. It was awesome. Yeah. Like, I remember we were putting we were putting the limpets, or not limpets, of the haversacks on the Japs collies we made, right? Same with you guys. And it's how you have to put them to your chest and you fin upside down to get to it, then you turn.
Yep.
Like, that's the fastest way because those things are full of air, so you can't, like, push them down. So you stab them with your knife, put them to your chest, and go down backwards until your back hits the ground. That's what we were taught, until your back hits the sand, turn over. And when I turned over, there was a 6-foot tiger shark, like, asleep against the Jap scully or whatever. And that thing went, bam, took off. I was like, whoa. But it was beautiful because there were about 15 feet of water maybe,
yeah,
I guess. Yeah. Man, that was cool. So anyways, that's the moral of the story. Just practice it all. You will benefit tremendously by getting, having that variety added to your
program. Oh, absolutely. Because when you get over 2 miles of swimming, it hurts no matter which method you're doing. So being able to change things up throughout the, you know, hour swim is beneficial.
For sure.
So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I think we're done. with Combat Swimmer Stroke?
We are for now.
If you got questions, ask them. Happy to help you.
Awesome. So, all right. All right, Stu. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks.